Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 12. Judges chapter 12. This is God's word. "The men of Ephraim called out their forces, crossed over to Zaphon, and said to Jephthah, 'Why did you go out to fight the Ammonites without calling us to go with you? We're going to burn down your house over your head.' Jephthah answered, 'I and my people were engaged in a great struggle with the Ammonites, and although I called, you didn't save me out of their hands. When I saw that you wouldn't help, I took my life in my hands and crossed over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave me the victory over them. Now why have you come out today to fight me?' Jephthah then called together the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. The Gileadites struck them down because the Ephraimites had said, 'You Gileadites are renegades from Ephraim and Manasseh.' The Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan leading to Ephraim. And whenever a survivor of Ephraim said, 'Let me cross over,' the men of Gilead asked him, 'Are you an Ephraimite?' If he replied, 'No,' they said, 'All right, say Shibboleth.' If he answered, 'Sibboleth,' because he could not pronounce the word correctly, they seized him at the fords of the Jordan. 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. Jephthah led Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried in a town in Gilead. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem led Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He gave his daughters away in marriage to those outside his clan. And for his sons, he brought in 30 young women as wives from outside his clan. Ibzan led Israel 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Elon the Zebulunite led Israel 10 years. Then Elon died and was buried in Ajalon in the land of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, son of Hillel, from Pirathon led Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. He led Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, died and was buried at Pirathon in Ephraim in the hill country of the Amalekites." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, the first thing that we see in this passage is that right after Jephthah has experienced great victory, followed by great heartache, he is hit with another threat that is a great aggravation. Remember, he went out trusting in the Lord, but trying to make a deal with God. He offered that whatever came out of his house to greet him when he came home, the first thing out of his house he'd offer is a sacrifice. First thing out of his house was his daughter. So he's had this tremendous victory in warfare, followed by tremendous tragedy when he returns home. And now, here come the people of Ephraim doing what the people of Ephraim do. And that is complaining that you didn't include us. Why didn't you ask us to help? You completely disrespected us. You should have called on us and asked us to come. Now, if you've heard that song before, it was the same people singing. Back in chapter 8, take a look once again. Chapter 8. "Now the Ephraimites asked Gideon, 'Why have you treated us like this? Why didn't you call us when you went to fight Midian?' And they criticized him sharply." What's with these people? When a job needs to be done, they are nowhere to be found, and then after the fact, they're like, oh, well, you should have asked me to help. I'm sure you will live a long and happy life and never encounter anyone like that. If you've made it to 20, you've already encountered people like that. You've seen the bumper sticker on the back of the truck that says, and I understand why people get these, it says, yes, this is my truck, and no, I will not help you move. There are people who are always called upon, and they end up having to help this person, and having to help this person, and having to help this person. And the more they help, the more they get called on to help. Because the word gets around that that's somebody you can turn to, that's somebody you can count on, and so everybody wants them to do stuff. Then there are other folks who are always mysteriously missing when there's a job to be done. If there's anything that might require perspiration, there's just always some reason that right now is not a good time. They can't be there today. You can put up with that. You can let it go and say, okay, don't count on them. I know not to count on them. But what is really aggravating is when people act upset that you didn't enlist them when you tried to enlist them and they wouldn't help. I'll just tell you something. This is a widespread problem that reflects a sinful nature that is common to mankind. Okay? If they had come and said, oh, we heard about what happened, so sorry that we didn't help. But that's not what they came saying. They came and they said, how dare you treat us with disrespect? This was their song. Ephraimites love to show up after the fight and then try and pick a fight. Now, when they did that to Gideon, Gideon said, oh, guys, listen, you're so great. Why would you even bother with me? I'm nothing compared to you. And so having had their pride appeased, which was what they were looking for, they went away. Didn't work that way with Jephthah. Jephthah said, I called to you for help, and you didn't come. So I went out and fought, and the Lord gave me victory. And now you want to come and mess with me? When I was in seventh grade, there was a boy named Jamie who got picked on a lot. And the more he got picked on, the more Jamie became a target. Because no matter what people said to him or did to him, it seemed like he just absorbed it, held it all inside. He was very shy, very quiet. And one day, somebody pushed Jamie too far. And Jamie let loose with all the rage that was inside him and had been building up for months. And suffice it to say, nobody ever picked on Jamie after that. Because all the rage came out through all four limbs. I mean, his hands, his feet, everything was used in pummeling his opponent. Now, I am not at all advocating violence as a way of settling things. What I am doing is warning you, based on Scripture, that you better watch your mouth, because it can get you in trouble, and someday you may run into Jephthah, who will not take kindly to being attacked by you right after he has been through battles of his own. You don't know what other people have been through. You don't know what they're carrying around inside. And you better look to be nice to people instead of aggravate them. The people of Ephraim lost how many? 42,000. 42,000 Ephraimites were killed because they wanted to be treated with respect. Well, I hope they felt good about their funeral. Because let me tell you something. It was all over. When Jephthah, who had had it up to here, got attacked, and by the way, he didn't go looking for trouble, they came after him. And when they came after him, he was not going to put up with any more. He did not respond the way Gideon did. The Ephraimites were used to being appeased, 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 appeased. That is to say, they were used to people deferring to them, stepping out of their way, saying, certainly, you go ahead. Of course, you should have that. Yes, fine. And on this occasion, Jephthah says, you're toast. And he made good on his promise. He rallied the troops and the people. Isn't it interesting that their anger was about supposedly not getting the respect they felt they deserved? And yet what they said about the Gileadites, verse 4, you Gileadites are renegades from Ephraim and Manasseh. In other words, you guys aren't even a real people. You're just kind of the bad side of our family. You're nobodies. Now, in history and in literature, as well as in the Bible, you will occasionally run across a term, and that is shibboleth. In political quarrels, such as our country is having right now, each party has certain things that they consider as shibboleths. Sometimes an astute commentator will even use that word. Other times you just see the principle in play if you know what to look for. When Donald Trump goes to Liberty University and trying to show that he is a Bible-believing Christian refers to 2 Corinthians, it generates a lot of laughter from people who do know the Bible and know that you don't call it 2 Corinthians, you call it 2 Corinthians. But that, of course, would not be known by a man who doesn't read the Bible because he doesn't know it's about him. So when he says 2 Corinthians, that's a tip-off. This guy is not one of us. He doesn't talk like we do. He doesn't use the terms. When he tries to show that he's a Christian by referring to the fact that he goes to the Presbyterian church and he takes the little cracker and the juice, that's not the statement of somebody who's one of us. Now, what happens if he gets elected president? Then we will do what we're supposed to do, and that is pray for those who are in authority. Okay? But please understand that even in today's election cycle, people are listening to see, is that person one of us? What does he say about immigration? What does he say about free enterprise? What does he say about individual liberty? What does he say about religious liberty? What does he say about gun rights? On the Democratic side, what does he say about abortion? Okay? What does she say about the right to bear arms? People are listening to what people are saying to see if that person is one of us. Well, believe it or not, even when you try to sound like you're one of them, such as Hillary turning on a southern accent at times, because she lived in Arkansas, and so she tries at times to get into that. A trained ear can tell the difference between genuine and phony. And while people are trying to do that, I want you to understand something. All of us have things we don't know how to say. What do you mean, Pastor Wood? Well, these folks couldn't say shibboleth if their life depended on it, because it did. Their life depended on it. and they still couldn't say Shibboleth. I know a fellow who came from another culture, and when he tried to say 13, it came out 13. Because in his culture, there was no th sound. What's going on? I hear all these foreigners, people who speak Spanish, who don't distinguish between Chula Vista with a V and Chula Vista with a B. Chula Vista, Chula Vista, same thing. Okay? Eastern Europe, where a village is a village. What's the deal? How can they not hear that? I grew up in a family where such things matter. And I can say anything, or so I think, until I go to the Philippines. And I say, so what is the name of this village where we are staying? And they give me the name, and I can't say it. And they laugh at me. And I try again, and I say, what is it? How do you say that? And they say it again. And I try again to say exactly what I heard, and yet what I heard is not what they said, because what they hear coming from my mouth is not at all right. Now, here's the deal. All of us not only have things that we have trouble saying, we have things that we have trouble hearing. And one of the things that leads to misunderstanding, miscommunication, and even conflict is when people don't understand each other. We think we heard what they said, but that's not what they said. They said something different. And it matters to them about the difference between what we think they said and what they really said. You will have times when you will say things to people that will mean a lot to you, only to have them respond in ways that make it clear that they did not understand what you were saying at all. And believe me, that creates problems between parents and children, and between husbands and wives, and between employees and employers. It creates all kinds of problems because we often hear something other than what was intended on the part of the person who was speaking. Say Shibboleth. Sibboleth. Now, that's about as dramatic a case of high stakes as it gets. Literally, these people died. Thousands of them died because they couldn't hear and replicate what somebody else was saying. They showed themselves to be foreigners. And these people were determined to kill anybody who was part of that group that had come out to fight against them. So, we learn anything from that? I hope so. I hope that you learn that sometimes what we think someone said is not what they said. And sometimes when we think that we're saying the same thing as somebody else, it's not the same. That's an important lesson. Because if you realize that in your dealings with other people, you'll be more careful to listen and a little slower to speak. And that will help avoid conflict. And don't forget, there's still more to the chapter, don't forget what we said earlier about the fact that you better be careful how you talk to other people because you don't know what they may have just been through and they may not be ready to put up with any more garbage from you. So look to say things that are kind rather than saying things that are hurtful.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, after this story, 42,000 Ephraimites killed at that time, in verse 7, Jephthah led Israel 6 years, and then he died, and he was buried in a town in Gilead. What did we say before about leaders? Leadership is important. Leaders are temporary. Sooner or later, all of us die, and somebody else comes along. In this case, it was a fellow named Ibzan of Bethlehem. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and the big thing that's recorded about how he lived, he led Israel for 7 years, but he found spouses for his children who weren't part of the clan. This is a very impressive thing. He looked outside the clan in order to get people for his sons and daughters to marry. That's worth noting because it was unusual. All right? The next person introduced, oh, don't forget verse 10, then Ibzan died and he was buried. After him, Elon the Zebulunite led Israel 10 years. Then he died and was buried. Nothing about 30 sons and 30 daughters or any of that stuff. It just, he led Israel 10 years. How much did the previous guy lead Israel? 7 years. He gets more space and he didn't lead as long. Sometimes you can be in leadership a longer period of time and have less memorable impact than somebody who was in leadership a shorter time. Verse 13. After him, Abdon, son of Hillel from Pirathon, led Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons, and they each had their own donkey. These donkeys really figure prominently in the book of Judges. If you can have your own donkey, you don't have to share a donkey with somebody else. You don't have to say, Dad, can I please take the donkey? They each had their own donkey, and that makes them a real big, prosperous family. Okay? What happened to him? With all his prosperity and the years that he led, he died and was buried. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how many donkeys you have, someday you're going to die. And all of these folks, even though they were leaders, even though they accomplished things, even though they had things that people remembered about them, people who looked to them, it's all temporary. It's all temporary. You and I need to be prepared for eternity. I was visiting with someone who is not a Christian. This person said, I would love to have faith like yours, but I've had difficult things happen in my life. We had a good conversation, and I'm very glad we had that opportunity. But let me tell you something that I shared with that individual. Whatever difficulties you go through in this life are temporary. Whatever you go through, no matter how painful, I'm not saying it's not painful. I'm saying whatever it is, it's a temporary problem. But when you leave this life, your situation is permanent. And so it is imperative that you make the most of the opportunity you have right now to get things right with God. Because when you leave here, I don't mean leave the ranch, I mean when you leave this planet. When you die, and all of us will die, you're going to stand before God. And the only thing that's going to matter at that point is whether you're in Christ or not. And you and I have an opportunity to put our trust in Him and to receive from Him the forgiveness that we need for having violated God's law. God gives us the opportunity to receive forgiveness and new life. Don't miss out on that opportunity, because you don't get a redo afterwards. You can't say, oh, I kept putting it off, and now I'd like to go back and get things right. Too late. All these judges, they were all the biggest big shot in the land while it lasted. And then it was over, and they were gone. I've known people in show business, professional sports, heads of big corporations, all of them either dead or will be. All of them. Doesn't matter how high you soar in this life, it comes to an end. And you better be ready for what's coming next.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.